Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Okay, let's talk about AG1. I have been drinking AG1 for quite a few years. And if you're a longtime listener, then you probably know that. I started drinking AG1 daily because I was a new mom. And I needed a foundational nutrition supplement that supported my body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining the formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. So not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I love that every scoop also includes probiotics and digestive enzymes. We all know I have had quite a battle with gut health, and this has been super helpful. So I recommend it to everyone. I drink it every morning before I have my coffee, and I get so many vitamins and minerals. They're the best. So AG1 is the supplement that I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. And that's why they've been a partner for so long, and they will continue to be. If you want to take ownership over your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/blonde. That is drinkag1.com/blonde. Check it out.
Hey guys, it's Jordan Younger, your host of the Balance Blonde Soul on Fire podcast. Here we go deep on all things astrology, awakening, wellness, motherhood, channeling, aliens, and so much more. We have deep conversations. We go to other realms. It's a lot of fun. So stick around. Let's dive on in. I cannot wait to connect. Hello, and welcome back to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Happy holidays. I cannot believe it is already almost Christmas. Hanukkah has passed. Tomorrow, my little man turns 2, my little Sagittarius angel boy. I cannot believe it. The time has been flying, and I hope everyone's having a really beautiful holiday season. This time of year always makes me so nostalgic and so thankful for our community. So thank you so much for being here and for listening to the show. Whether this is your first episode that you've ever listened to of this podcast or whether you've been here since 2015, I love you all, and I'm just so, so grateful. Today, we have a fabulous conversation with the book mama herself, Linda Sivertsen. You have probably heard of her from the Beautiful Writers podcast, which has been around for a long, long time. It was actually the first podcast that I ever listened to. Linda is an incredible writer. She is not only an author herself, but she is an author that helps other people write their books. She is like the book coach that everybody in the world wants to have, wishes they could have. You can have after listening to this, because I know that you guys are going to fall in love with Linda. She hosts incredible writers retreats in Carmel. She just does so much, and she personally has helped me in my book writing process, especially working on my recent book proposal, More Than Words Could Ever Say. She's fantastic, and I know that you guys are going to love her. So you can check her out. All of her links will be in the show notes. And with that, let's get into today's episode. Also, if you are not currently on the waiting list for TBB Meditations, which are launching in early January, then please, please get on that list. We have the link in the show notes. You will be a VIP. You'll be the first person to find out when it launches. You'll get special VIP pricing, giveaways of all my favorite brands, all the things. It's going to be meditation, affirmations, pep talks, bonus podcast episodes. It's going to be pretty life-changing, if I do say so myself. And I'm excited to get it up and get it launched. Okay, my angels, with that, let's get into today's conversation with Linda. Your face is already shape-shifting. This is what happens when I sit across from someone.
Talk to me, what's it
doing? Oh my God, your face is shape-shifting. So this happens mostly with people who have done a lot of spiritual work on themselves.
Right.
And even though I know you so well and you're like my book mother, book mama, we've never met in person until now.
No.
And your face is
changing.
Yeah, there's a lot of light emitting from your face.
Wow.
It's kind of like all the edges of your face are gone and it's just like melt. It's just like part of the universe right now. You have a lot of angelic white light coming from you.
My puppy just died on Friday. So.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So maybe she's coming through.
Yeah, I think
I brought her
so.
Collar in my purse.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing like a lot of the other side coming through.
I see dead people too, but other than that.
Yeah. Always. Well, it's a beautiful energy that you carry with you.
Thank you.
And I have a fun story for you to start the podcast with. Because I don't think I've ever told you this.
Have we started? Are we going?
Yeah, we're in. We're on. So basically, somebody sent me your podcast back in 2015. So
right when we started
very early days.
Yeah.
And this was kind of before podcasts were what they are. People were like, what's a podcast?
Right.
How do you listen to a podcast?
I know.
Do you need a special app? And it was a friend of mine who's also a writer and knows that I'm a writer.
Yeah.
She's like, you have to listen to this podcast, The Beautiful Writers Podcast. So it was the first podcast that I ever listened to.
For real. My podcast was your first.
Yes. And
I don't even know what to say.
I remember walking up and down the beach in Santa Barbara, listening to you and Danielle talking to all these huge authors, huge. And just thinking like, maybe one day I could be on their podcast. Maybe that would happen. And then when we started connecting, it was just so special for me.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the thing about putting yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we're all insecure. Everybody's scared shitless, right? And when you put yourself out there, it is shocking to find out that the people you admire, because I so admire you, they often are already admirers of you. And it's shocking. It's like, you've got to be kidding me.
Totally. Anyway. I know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been such a longtime fan.
I had no idea.
It's amazing.
Because I learned about you through Catherine and India Oxenberg.
Yeah.
So they're longtime besties. Like, I lived with them. My son was a baby when India was a baby, and we lived at their house. We had a crazy landlord, and he kicked my husband out one day. And I called Kath. I was like, we need a place. And we just lived one block away, so we just moved on in. And I remember Catherine and India talking about you a lot online. And I was like, who is this blonde person? Let me go watch her. And I just, you know, fell in love with you. So
it's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, they're incredible. I mean, they were some of my favorite podcast
people.
Guests.
And magic.
Still, people are like, wait, you had the Oxenbergs on?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they've both done so many incredible things, but what India survived is just amazing.
Yeah, next Sam, she's magical.
Absolutely. We're celebrating your book, which we've got right here. We're going to show it to the camera, The Beautiful Writer's Book. And I feel like everybody needs this. Everybody who's a writer who wants to tell their story.
Sure.
I mean, it's the Bible. It is the go-to.
Thank you.
And there's so many cool stories in here from you. I actually didn't realize until I really dove into it. It's such a memoir.
Yeah,
it is. It's your life. Like,
it is.
I was expecting, because I knew there were excerpts from all the huge authors that you've had the opportunity to interview, but I got to learn all about your life, like everything.
I wanted to write a coming of career behind the scenes, like what really goes on for authors who are unknown, who maybe don't have the credentials, they don't have the confidence. Like, how does somebody go from a pie in the sky idea to getting connected in such an intimidating industry? How do they go from idea to done and sold? And what does that look like? Because I did so many wild things. It was such a struggle. It was so funny and farcical. And I thought, nobody admits this stuff. I want to tell these stories, because when I would tell them at parties or at retreats, you know, I give writing retreats, people would just laugh. And I would think, my path has been so absurd and so magical and grandiose and practical. It's been all the things. I thought, I need to just be vulnerable and tell the truth and share. Like, there's nothing, like, I wasn't salacious, but boy, did I do crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I need to just be willing to share this stuff, because I think we all need examples of taking risks. Life is scary. It's getting scarier all the time. And we need examples of people who throw themselves out there despite their fear, despite their jealousy, despite the fact they can't pay their bills. You know, whatever the things people are dealing with, I was dealing with so many of them. And I didn't let anything stop me. And there was so much magic along the way. You know, when you throw yourself out there with confidence, even though you're terrified, great stuff happens, and and bad stuff happens too, but each little win carries you forward, gives you more confidence for the next little win. And over time, one day you look back and you're like, whoa, I climbed a mountain.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible.
Thanks.
And I want to know about the process of writing this book. Like, it's thick.
Oh,
how
Lord
long did this one take
heaven.
You?
Lord in heaven. Well, a long time. It started off as two books. It was a divorce memoir initially.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was married for 19 years and it was the total Hollywood story. In fact, people tried to buy the rights multiple times to make it a movie. My husband and I always said, we'll never let anybody have our story, but it was.
You should though. I mean, if you're like the executive producer or something, how cool would that be?
Maybe. I don't know. But so I had written this memoir called My Midlife Mess, and it was the story of meeting my now ex-husband in Mrs. Gooch's, which is now Whole Foods on Crescent in Beverly Hills. But I met him on the way home from a spiritual seminar where I stood up in front of 80 people. The leader had said, tell us what you want to accomplish this weekend. And I'm pie in the sky. I'm 23 years old. I thought, well, I want to meet my life partner. And I thought, of course I will. Like, that's what I want. And this Jesus-looking character on the stage said, you know, be really careful what you wish for, because whatever you wish for will happen. And I totally bought it. So I'm standing on stage, 80 expectant, smiling faces are staring back at me. And I said, I want to meet my life partner this weekend. And I want him to be a Taurus like my last boyfriend, because I really loved him. And I want him to be an actor. I mean, I had like all this crazy criteria of what I wanted. I want him to be gorgeous. I mean, whatever. Everyone's just smiling and laughing back at me because it was so absurd. And I said, and I want him to sweep me off my feet on his white horse. So the seminar ends at Sunday at like 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. My best friend's with me, who I'm going to see tonight in Malibu.
Yay.
And I said, you know what, I'm really hungry. Let's go by Mrs. Gooch's and get some fruit. So we did, and there he was in the melon section, and it was the exact person criteria for each thing I asked for. It was him. And he was an actor, and he swept me off my feet, and we got married instantly. So I married a total stranger because it was destined, right?
I mean, yes, of course.
It was everything. He was everything I prayed for, and me for him. And so we end up having just a really crazy marriage, obviously, but it was also incredibly magical. And I knew that I had to write the divorce memoir when we got divorced because the divorce was equally sort of dramatic. The whole marriage was dramatic. So my way of staying sane was to write my way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a self-help author, which I was by the time I got divorced, you have so many self-help friends on speed dial.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're walking into walls because divorce is hard, you're calling your friends and they're giving you the world's best advice and they're funny as hell. So I just took notes because I knew I wouldn't remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put it all together in a book. But I went to sell it, went to New York, took meetings. And the editors that I met with were like, why do you have all these funny, struggling writing stories in this thing? And I'm like, well, because I feel like two artists struggling to make it is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, well, we want more of those. Or, you know, some editors wanted just the divorce stuff and some wanted more of those. And I thought, oh, these are two books.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I had the podcast for a couple of years. I think I was reading Cheryl Strayed. I was getting ready to interview Cheryl Strayed. It hit me. I was like, oh, whoa. When I'm writing in the book about my agent dilemmas, well, how did Cheryl Strayed get her agent? How did Terry McMillan get her agent? And I just started realizing, oh, wow. Well, as I'm telling my crazy stories, these people that I've had on who are the most amazing authors in the world, they also have crazy stories and practical stories and magical stories. Why don't I just insert those in little boxes throughout my story to break it up?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fun.
It's really fun. I mean, that's why I was able to read like over 150 pages in one sitting.
That's insane.
Because, I mean, I'm a reader.
It's dense.
But like, I was so into your story, but I was also like, there's these big blocks of other people's quotes, which I was wondering, are those quotes from your podcast?
They're verbatim
that's
from the podcast.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a few of them, like, Stephen Pressfield was so amazing. Stephen and Martha
him.
Beck.
He's my idol.
Oh, he's the best in the world. Stephen and Martha Beck and Mary Carr, a couple of people gave me extra stories that weren't on the pod.
Cool.
So I would call them or text them and say, hey, I've got this place in the book where we need another story. And they just fire me off a...
Why are they so amazing? That's so cool.
You know what? I'm just... so blessed with just incredible friends.
I think,
and you're finding this, you're so much younger than I am, but the longer you stay in a game, whatever mm-hmm. that game is, the more, you know, people just help you because you've been in it for so long
mm-hmm.
and they know that you know the trials and tribulations they've gone through, and there's just a mutual respect and a helpful attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And also what they ended up telling me, Stephen and I talked about this, it's really a blueprint for success in any field, in any creative endeavor, or anybody with a dream. So it was more than just a writing book, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They got excited about that.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I have been loving the company Dose Daily. Oh my gosh, they are expertly formulated organic wellness shots that support your liver in one delicious drink. They sent them to me for this partnership, but I fell in love and now I'm purchasing them on my own. They're amazing. Jonathan's obsessed. I love the way it makes my body feel. I love how easy it is to support detoxification. I just love how clean it is. Let me tell you all the things about it. So it's scientifically backed and has completely clean ingredients. It is USDA organic. It has zero sugar, zero calories. It's non-GMO, vegan, sustainable packaging, free shipping on all orders. It's amazing. The ingredients that they use are curcumin, which is turmeric extract, 24 times more bioavailable than standard turmeric. They use milk thistle extract, which is a super potent type. They have organic ginger root, dandelion root in its most natural form, and Dose's orange is 20 times the potency compared to fresh orange juice, which I think is a really big deal. It is clinically shown to support healthy liver enzyme function based on a double-blind study. So that means I will be sharing this with my family, my mom, my dad. Everybody needs this. It ensures optimal liver function and supports long-term liver health. It's amazing. I take it in the morning before I have my matcha. Liver health is obviously so important. And if you want to give Dose a shot and invest in your health, they are offering the Balanced Blonde listeners 15% off your first order, plus an additional 15% off if you subscribe for a monthly delivery. That's 30% off your first order. Go to dosedaily.co/balanced and use the code balanced. That is dosedaily.co/balanced and use the code balanced. We're talking about Stellar Eats, my favorite grain-free baking mixes that are made with 8 or less real ingredients like almonds, coconut, and dates. They have mixes from carrot cake to banana bread to coffee cake that are all gluten-free, paleo-friendly, and naturally sweetened with coconut and date sugars. The taste and the texture are just like traditional treats, but so good for you. It was started by 3 women who were frustrated with diet culture and how healthy eating has always been all about how people look on the outside, not about how we feel on the inside or about how the food tastes. So they are on a mission to change the way that wellness brands speak to customers. And I think that that's so important. I have been loving these baking mixes. I love baking in the kitchen with Atticus. It's one of my favorite pastimes. It's something that I remember doing with my mom, and I just can't wait for him and all my future kids to have that memory with me. So we're bringing these to all the holiday get-togethers this year, and it's been a hit. Visit StellarEats.com and use the code BALANCED at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's StellarEats.com. Use the code balanced for 20% off your first order. Stellar Eats is also available at Whole Foods stores nationwide. I can't wait to hear what you think and let me know. Do you have a favorite part of the book?
You mean my part or their parts?
Both. So one from yours and one from like a contribution.
Oh gosh. Oh gosh. I think I'm working on a piece right now for a magazine. I can't say which one yet. Mm-hmm. But it was about I had seal over for dinner.
So oh my God.
As I'm struggling to become a published author, my agent at the time kept saying, Linda, you just need one more celebrity, because I was interviewing celebrities. Mm-hmm. The book was called Life's Charmed. Mm-hmm. And it was given to me in a dream, which you read about.
Yes, which we have to talk about.
Oh, that dream was insane.
Question. Yeah.
So my agent kept saying, we just need one more celebrity. Like, he would shop my proposal and the editors would say, well, we love it, but we need a little more fame. So throughout, I kept thinking, I've got to interview Seal. I just was obsessed with his music. I would put on Crazy every morning in my little, like, cabin in New Mexico, freezing with my cold at night because we had no heat. So I'm like freezing fingers, and I would listen to Seal, and I would just dream, dream, dream. And so I thought, well, he has to be in the book. Well, eventually one of my girlfriends starts dating him.
Oh my God.
And I've tried everything. I've written to his people, his management, his producer, Trevor Horn, like on it. Nobody's answering my letters, right? Because I'm a total unknown. So my girlfriend starts dating him, but I can't tell her because she's not like my best friend. She's come out to New Mexico a couple times. She stayed with us, but I'm not going to call her and go, hi, like I need your boyfriend to help me get published. So one day, the medicine man who lived next door, I see him at the gas station. And he says, hey, Seal's coming to your house for dinner on Sunday night. And I'm just like, oh my God. Okay.
He just like tapped into that from
the
universe?
Well, she was bringing him and she wanted to look at land. I now know they were having issues, but at the time he didn't tell me that. So they were actually going to have some kind of counseling, I think, with the medicine man.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, I'm thinking dinner at my house. It was the most insane disaster you could imagine.
Oh my God.
It's hilarious. It's my favorite. You haven't gotten to it yet because it's towards the end of the book. It's ridiculous. It taught me so many things. But when you're a creative and you have these big dreams, you have to be really, really careful not to put all your eggs in any one basket, right? You've got to have so many multiple ways to succeed because anytime I did that, anytime I put like all my hopes and dreams on one person, it's a quick way to insanity.
Totally. So did he end up contributing to the book?
Oh my God, no. No, okay. He ran away from me.
Oh my God.
As fast as he could, out of my outhouse, like slammed the door and ran.
No way. Wait, yeah. I can't wait to get to that part of the book.
It's the best.
Oh my God, it's that's so wild. But that book ended up getting published anyway.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. And what I say in this book, in Beautiful Writers, because I write the whole scene and it's so funny. It's so funny, the different crazy things that happen. I say, you know, at the end of it, well, I was going to ask Seal if it was okay for me to publish this story. And I'll give away too much if I say it here. At any rate, he wasn't the star of that book, but he's one of the stars of this book. I only had to wait like 26 years.
Exactly.
No
that
biggie.
Is hysterical.
No biggie.
Oh my God. Funny. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to get to that part. I loved the part about your mystical dream where you were given 6 books.
Magic.
Like while you were sleeping, like dropped from the universe.
Yeah, magic.
Tell us about that.
Well, as a kid, all I wanted to be was a writer. As I got older, I didn't think I was smart enough. So as a kid, my mom was the president of the Stanford Book Club. My dad had a little library in our home. So it was just floor-to-ceiling books, and I would smell them and read constantly. And so I had really big literary dreams. But in high school, I was a bit of an airhead to the smarty pants mean girls, and they made it really clear that I was an airhead. That's one of my favorite stories. And so I didn't graduate college, so I went to USC. Right at the end, I quit. I thought, you know, I'm spending a fortune of my parents' money. I know I want to be an entrepreneur. I found out I needed a lot more classes once I graduated with my psych degree to ever make any money. And I just thought, what am I doing? So I left school. I still had 3 classes left. And there was some real shame. There was some real insecurity about doing that. I didn't know at the time that that would morph, but it did. And so as much as I wanted to write, I didn't think I was smart enough. And I became a professional dog walker in Beverly Hills in Hollywood. And it was the best gig in the world. Are you kidding me? Like keys and alarm codes for the neatest people in town, like Kirk Douglas and Kiefer Sutherland. And I'm walking their dogs and I'm getting paid a mint, right? My fanny pack is filled with cash all day, every day. And just such incredible friendships. That's how Catherine and I became friends.
Amazing.
I took care of her home for a while and her cat. And that's what happened. People became family really quickly, and it was just the most magical job. And one day, there was a series of events, but one day I woke up in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., and I saw 6 titles and the format of each title and how to write each book as if I was being given like a PhD course. And it happened every night for 6 months. I would wake up at 3 in the morning, and it was all there. And I just took dictation. And, you know, I was always an intuitive kid. I was always kind of an I see dead people kid. We had a ghost growing up. I was the only one could see her. I loved her. I thought she was so old lady fun and friendly. And like I'd scare my friends with her. You know, they'd come over and I would say, turn on the stereo. Or oh, I'd say, turn off the lights. And people were like, oh my God. But I loved her. And so I've always been super intuitive. And that was part of what I had to learn was that just because I didn't feel book smart in school didn't mean I didn't have an innate genius, right? Mm-hmm. Like we all have a genius. You just have to figure out where it is. So my particular genius is listening for myself. And, you know, if I work with a client, mm-hmm. I can just see things. I can hear things. But I didn't know that until that dream. That was the beginning. And I just, blind faith, I just trusted. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm going to be on Oprah in a year or 6 months. Of course, I'm going to be on Oprah. You know, just so grandiose. Because I think when you're given a dream like that, and it is so visceral, and you can see it and feel it and smell it, and it kind of takes over, it ignited a fire within me because I never knew what I was going to do with my life. Mm-hmm. So once you figure it out and you're so ignited, well, like, look out, right? Nothing's going to stop you.
Yeah, absolutely. But, oh my God, that's so cool. It's so cool that you remembered it.
And because, I don't remember my dreams ever.
Right. What I
hardly
was,
ever.
Thinking was that's happened to me a few times, but I mean, it's gone. It's like I fully come out of that state of consciousness.
Yeah.
Either with my journal or in the morning I try and I'm like, I have no idea what that was, but I know that was brilliance and I want to go back there. Incredible that you acted on it.
I learned quickly, like paper and pen by the bed, have a flashlight because you will lose it. But for some reason on these dreams, they didn't disappear.
Yeah.
It was very mystical.
Messages from the universe. Yeah. That's so cool. So what's your spiritual practice like now?
I do gratitudes every morning and every evening. It makes me feel good just to focus on what I'm grateful for. I always pick like my favorite things for the day and kind of star those and highlight those. And that's kind of it. I'll meditate for 5 minutes. That's it. Maybe 8 minutes. I'm a super bad meditator, always was.
But short meditations are still great.
They're great. To me, nature is my meditation. Writing is my meditation and my horses. Mm-hmm. My horses. So I'd rather go out and walk the dogs and be with the horses and feed them apples and have them all try to bite my fingers off than sit there for 20 minutes meditating.
Yeah. Well, meditation comes in many forms.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. And you're such an animal person.
Oh, my God. My son the other day, he goes, Mom, you know, in Chinese astrology, because I'm a dragon, it's like in Chinese astrology, the dog is your enemy. I'm like,
oh, wow.
I'm like, well, that's a joke. Like the universe played a good joke on me because I have 7 dogs. We have 8. Yeah. We had 8. We lost one last week. But I'm like, yeah, if they are my enemy, I'm going to sleep with them.
Yeah, exactly. Live with the enemy. Yeah. Well, I'm a horse in Chinese astrology.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is my son.
Love horses. So is he. When was he born? 1990?
Yes.
Oh, me too.
I always say you could have been my daughter.
Yes.
I swear to God, I say that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true. So when's his birthday?
August 7th.
Okay, so he's just a couple months older than me.
Then how is he a horse? And you're a horse.
1990.
Because
it goes by
the year.
Got it. Exactly. Oh my God. So he's a Leo.
He's a Leo.
And so are you.
So am I.
When's your birthday?
I'm a Vedic Leo. I'm a Western Virgo.
Oh.
So my sister, Carol Allen, is one of the top Vedic astrologers in the world.
I saw that in your book, and now I have to have a reading with her.
Honey,
you don't even know.
You don't even know. I mean, and she loves Western astrology too.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. Vedic astrology is a little more predictive. Mm-hmm. So what I love about Vedic astrology is like, you know, a friend will say, I can't sell my house. And she'll go, oh, it'll sell next June. Don't worry. And it sells next June. Like, she's so predictable.
Wow.
So everyone thinks she's psychic.
And I need to talk to her.
I've planned every big event of my life around her. Like, I made my husband get married at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Because that's when the perfect window was. So,
that's so
his
cool.
daughter was like, are you effing kidding me? Daughter's out at our barn at 6 a.m. going, oh my God. But the light was so good. We all ended up really grateful. But
Yeah.
Crackers. Oh my God. I love that. Okay. So your birthday is when then?
August 31st.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're beginning
Western Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Vedic Leo.
And then in this book, you talk about Guru Singh. You had some amazing experiences with him.
My heart.
Do you still stay in touch?
We're on WhatsApp all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm one of those people I have mentors,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not a good guru person because mm-hmm. I don't follow directions. So you saw in the book, he's always trying to get me to meditate and I just can't.
Yeah.
I'm not good with ever following quote unquote rules. But he kind of loves that about me. So we became friends rather than student teacher. We just became mm-hmm. friends forever
totally.
Ago. And so we still are. His wife was like, you're the only one who really lets him have it. I just tell people, and it makes them laugh.
Yeah.
So
it's good to have people like that in your life.
He's the best. So, I'll text him every once in a while about the state of the world. I'll go, all right, I'm spinning.
Uh-huh.
And he'll go, okay, here's what's going on. Here's what you need to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
He'll say, so Linda, read the headlines, not the articles.
Mm.
I go, okay, I can breathe.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's important to have someone like that in your life.
Well, because my parents are gone. So, yeah. you have to find your people. You have to find your elders.
Yeah. It's really
I'm an
important.
Elder, but I need elders, right?
Yeah. Everybody needs an elder.
Yeah.
And you're still so youthful and
Thank
young.
You.
You really are.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
We are in the gift-giving season, my loves, and today we are talking about Lightbox lab-grown diamonds. They are grown in Portland and gifted by you. You can explore all the reasons to give and receive lab-grown diamonds, but let me tell you a few. One is that they are chemically and optically identical to natural diamonds, but lab-grown diamonds have a more accessible price point that means that you can add versatile classics to your jewelry collection, like ready-to-party earring jackets and glamorous tennis bracelets. They have risk-free shopping and easy returns, which makes Lightbox the easiest way to shop for stunning quality lab-grown diamond jewelry. All of Lightbox modern classics shine solo, or they can be layered for a higher impact sparkle. Plus, they also offer lab-grown diamonds grown in pink or blue, but with still the unmistakable sparkle of a diamond. I love that you can grow a diamond and see that sparkle in real life by shopping jewelry's best-kept secret in gifting. Shop now at lightboxjewelry.com and use promo code BLONDE for 10% off site-wide. That is lightboxjewelry.com. And use promo code BLONDE for 10% off site-wide. I am so excited to hear what you think. I know that you're going to love it. Shop those lab-grown diamonds now.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration.
This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases.
Did you know that after the age of 21, you start losing 1% of your collagen every year? I had no idea, but it actually makes sense because now I'm 33 and I notice when my skin isn't the same as it was before. Collagen is super important for our skin because it gives natural support and firmness to the face. And BioSil is a premium product that helps you generate your own collagen. It also helps you to protect the collagen that you already have. What I love is that it's backed by science. Over 25 years and $25 million in research have been poured into this product and this brand, and it provides real results. So it's clinically proven to work for healthier hair, skin, and nails. It increases skin elasticity by 89% and decreases the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles by 30%. It's super easy to take. The liquid capsules are smaller than a penny, more space effective in your pantry, no more scoops of big collagen powders. We know that that can be a little bit time consuming and difficult. So get 30% off of your first product order on BioSil's website with the code BALANCED. Again, that is code BALANCED for 30% off your first product order or subscription exclusively on BioSil.beauty. So for everybody who's an aspiring writer, what are your top tips for people who want to be published?
A couple of things. Trust your ache. If you have the ache, you have what it takes. And if you don't have what it takes yet, you'll figure it out. Just take that burning desire and sit down and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just 15 minutes a day. I was blessed in that I've always been super high energy and didn't need a lot of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So when those dreams woke me up at 3 a.m., I got to write from 3 a.m. on forever. I wrote most of my career from 3 a.m. on because I wanted to be a real hands-on mom and wife and ultimately, you know, career person during the day. So the writing time had to happen in the middle of the night. A lot of people can't do that. So if you can only do 15 minutes a day, you can write a whole book in 15 minutes a day in a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So trust that. And it, you know, if it's a half a Saturday where you're giving the kid to the husband, you're going to come home and that house is going to maybe be a wreck. They're going to have learned college football.
Mm-hmm.
But just trust, go, get out, get to the coffee shop and just put stuff down.
You can't edit
what you haven't written.
Yeah, that's so true.
So that's number one. Number two, study people who've done it, immerse yourself in them online, watch people who've done it and make it real for you. I think what's beautiful about the internet now, which I didn't have when I was, you know, coming up and learning, I studied people relentlessly through books and ultimately interviewing them for that first book. Through my dog walking business, I studied success 24/7 because I was taking care of the most wealthy, beautiful homes in town. And so I watched and I thought it was like living a reality show before there was such a thing. I watched, like, what are they doing? What works? I noticed that all the charmed people that I found all were doing the same things to succeed. They had different life stories, but really they stayed super positive. They believed in themselves no matter what. If they had addictions, they went and got help. You know, I love that show you did with Lacey the other day about manifestation. And where you guys were talking about, it's the unconscious stuff that holds us back, right?
Totally.
You can be affirming all the great stuff you want and looking at your vision boards all the time. And that takes you places.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also going to have that push-pull if you've got the internal nightmares going on, right?
Totally.
And I saw that in my career so much. One of the funny things I love about my path was it was so stop-start. There was so much like expansion. And then backsliding.
And then
you come back to center. And then you expand. And then you backslide.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just normal. I think my path was probably more extreme in a lot of cases than others, maybe because I love a funny story. But, you know, we all know where we're getting hung up. We all know where we stop ourselves. we may not know why. And if you don't, go find somebody to help you get through that, because life is short.
Like,
you got shit to do.
Absolutely. Where do you usually get hung up personally?
I get hung up in multiple ways. So my mother's mother died when she was 9. And so my mother was kind of a tomboy, real pretty face. She looked like Grace Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
But she had big, thick glasses and short hair because she couldn't deal with hair and stuff. And I remember being a little girl. I was in maybe third grade. I was like, Mom, can you help me do braids like the girls at school? And she said, I'm so sorry, baby. I don't know how to do any of that. And she ultimately felt badly and put me in like some Barbizon School of Beauty modeling thing, which I felt like such a fish out of water. But I had to kind of, I still have to champion my femininity and and take care of myself as a female creature, because I'm a real tomboy. I'm always in dirty jeans and cowboy boots. I'm always shoveling horse manure. I'm like, I love being outside. I love hard labor and work. I just do. I love to clean. I used to be a maid. So I really have to be careful of overdoing my masculine. So that really gets me. And one of the things I was just thinking on the way over here, I was noticing I was getting a little triggered, like, oh, did I bring the right clothes for the weekend? So I'm going to go see our friend Kelly Gores, who's one of my dearest friends, and my best friend Diane Chandler, and we're all going to be together tonight staying at Kelly's. And I was starting to go through that, do I have the right clothes? And that's childhood program. That's just, that's a wounding, right? That's just a wounding. And I have to remember in those instances that I will never be the fashion plate that Diane is or that Kelly is. And I actually don't care. I don't even try. I buy clothes once a year and sometimes from the feed store. So it's like, I just have to always work on honoring who I really am and yet still nurturing the parts that are wounded.
It's such good advice. We all have those wounds and they always come from childhood.
They always do. And then the other one for me is intellectual. I no longer think I'm stupid ever, because I really have learned of that innate genius. And I've also been successful long enough in my business to know that, okay, I'm a good business person. Like, I can do that. I help a lot of people. I know how to do this. But I notice every once in a while I get tripped up with higher ups in the agent world. So I have a lot of agent friends that I adore, that I connect my clients with all the time. But when it comes to me and my agent, I still feel not good enough. And I really have to think about that, like, Linda, what's going on with you? And that, again, is just a wounding thing from childhood, another story that I have to, like, if my agent is slow to respond or doesn't answer, I just have to breathe and go, Linda, this is your stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely relate to that.
Do you?
Oh my God, yes. I absolutely do.
That's good.
All
to hear.
Those stories of, like, especially when it comes to writing. And so it makes sense to me that you feel that way with your agent. Because I mean, I can feel that way as well. And I think it's also because we care so much about writing.
This
and
is
so,
what my sister said to me. She goes, Linda, it's because you care so much.
If it was like acting, or if it's like all these things that I don't care that much about, like there's this opportunity on the horizon. Yeah. I think I've told you about, but I can't say exactly what it is, but I've been like really back and forth. And for some people, that would be their dream. And for me, I really care more about writing. And so I could care freaking less.
You are a writer. You're a writer.
Thank you. What happens with this other opportunity? But when it comes to the book, I'm like telling myself before I even send an email, if my agent doesn't respond right away, I'm still okay. I'm still a writer, like all these things.
Right.
And my God, it's tough. It's really
tough.
Well,
where it gets tough for me is that I am a people pleaser. So asking for what I need takes a little bit of an effort.
Same.
So we've been working on the audiobook and I didn't like some of the samples that the company sent me, because the celebrity voices, we had to forgo that. It was just what ended up happening with that was that they needed these releases from the celebrities that were really, really pretty far encompassing. Name and likeness for all eternity. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but it was a lot. And so William Morris Endeavor, the celebrities that are in this book who gave their permission, who are some of my dearest friends, their agency at William Morris Endeavor wanted to make some changes to the contract. And that couldn't be done. Mm-hmm.
And I understand both sides. So I agreed. Let's just get, you know, I'm narrating my part, but let's get the studio actors to do the male and mm-hmm. female parts. But then I didn't like the first samples I heard. And I told them, it got to a little bit of an effort where I think my agent was just like, Linda.
Yeah.
I had to hold strong, I think. And maybe that's where it's tougher for women to ask for what they want because we don't want to be seen as high maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to trust your gut. And to me, writing is a love letter. Everything I write, to me, it's my love. It's my heart. Mm-hmm. And so that now extends to the audiobook, and I want to love it.
Of course.
And finally, and we got it. It didn't even take that long. Uh-huh. But we got the voices that I love.
Good. So. Yeah, it's so
Hold
important.
Out.
Absolutely. My friend just wrote this amazing book, and she had so a similar experience where you just have to stick up for yourself, and you seem like you feel like, oh, I'm just being so particular.
Right?
I'm just being so difficult.
I know.
But it's really just being a smart, you know, business person, a caring author who cares about their
who
work.
Cares?
It's important.
Yeah, you have to trust.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for everybody listening who wants to have an agent but has no idea how to get one, what are your tips?
Oh my gosh.
Because it's hard these days.
Well, they reject 95% of everything they see. I mean,
so it's really hard.
They say sometimes even getting an agent's harder than getting a publisher. You got to know their language.
Mm-hmm.
Get educated on what they want, what they're looking for. First of all, at the end of the day, they are just book loving people. Mm-hmm. Really, they got into this not to become super wealthy, because for the most part, agents don't become super wealthy. But they got into it for the love of story. So you got to put your mindset into they're just people who love stories. If they're short with you, and I have to remind myself of this, if they're short with you, it's because they're busy.
Yeah.
And you actually want them to be busy.
I know. Because
that means they're connecting
like,
with editors
they
and they're going to sell you.
Telling me how much they love my work. No,
exactly.
I know. It's like always short.
But
and that's okay.
They're short because they're busy. And that's a good thing. That pays the bills. So know their language. I actually have a thing on bookmama.com. It's a free download if you sign up for my newsletter. That's like an hour conversation on what they're looking for.
Oh, wow.
So, and I'll give it to you. But it's a fun audio. I made it like just like a podcast. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to listen to. But query letter, you send them a query letter and it's easy to get their information. You go online and there's a thing called Publishers Marketplace. You can sign up for Publishers Marketplace and find out who all the agents are in your genre, what their email address is, what they're looking for. Jeff Herman has a great guide on that too, a guide for agents and editors. You find out what they're looking for. You definitely don't want to send somebody who hates cookbooks. You don't want to send them a query about your cookbook. So be smart about it. But you send them a query over email and you don't send any attachments. Often their servers will reject those. So you just send a copy and paste email. And hopefully they want to see more. And you have samples ready. You don't want to make them wait. So you have your samples ready. A book proposal is key. So have a good You have a gorgeous proposal. So you
Thank
have
you.
Your book
With
proposal
your
ready. It was so fun. It was so good.
I mean,
you're so good.
You're incredible though, because the beginning of that book proposal was completely redone by you.
It wasn't you.
But it's my favorite part. It wasn't me at all, because I was trying to be this serious person who's like, well, I can't write the way that I talk because that would be crazy.
I'm like, where's Fun Jordan?
I know. I was buried beneath a lot of, I mean, it's how much I care, right? Like trying to be so professional.
Everyone does that.
But then we fixed it, you know, because of you.
It's so fun now.
We made it like to conversational.
Well, you're fun to fix. You're easy to fix because your bona fides are all obvious. I was like, why are you not telling them this?
Right.
Why did you forget? Like, hello?
Yeah, totally.
You're
totally.
Easy.
Thank you.
You're
Somehow,
so easy.
My agent did get back to me with her edits.
Oh my God, I'm so happy.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. And you have incredible resources for book proposals for anybody who's listening who doesn't know how to write a book proposal or doesn't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Linda has the book proposal. What's
a business,
it called?
It's a
the
business plan for your book.
Magic.
It's called Book Proposal Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have a plan and I just make it easy. I think you just got to break. They're intimidating for everybody. Don't get me wrong. Book proposals are intimidating for all of us. Even like Elizabeth Gilbert and Marie Forleo.
Does
like
she have
they
to
tell
write
me
them
it's
at this
hard.
Point?
Well, I asked her the last time I had Elizabeth on the show. I was like, hey, do you still write book proposals? Because Brené Brown had said to me, look, I used to write them. I used to stress out about them. But God, I feel kind of bad that I don't write them anymore. Yeah, you know, now I just tell my publisher what I want. So I wasn't sure if Liz was still what she was doing. And I said, do you still write them? And she was like, yeah, I wrote one for City of Girls. And I was like, wow. And Big Magic, she kind of combined them. But, you know,
that's
certainly not as extensive as what I would write or what you would write. I mean, for most of us who don't have, you know, 10 bestsellers behind us, we have to do a pretty comprehensive plan about these are all the different things I can do. These are all the different people I know. Here's the ways in which I can pitch myself.
I think it's harder than writing a book.
It's hard. It's hard. But what I love about it is taking the pieces and making them bite-sized, because everything's easy if you just do it one paragraph at a time.
True.
And if you have examples of all the different kinds of things that have worked, you kind of plug and play. It makes it a lot easier.
Totally. The examples are so helpful.
Thank you.
So helpful. Like when you sent me your book proposal, which was so kind of you. And I'm like, wait, now I can just plug
and play
my words
in.
Because obviously Linda's worked and is the best.
Thank you.
Yes. And what are your thoughts on self-publishing?
I love it. I didn't used to, but I love it now. I just did 2 episodes on my pod, self-publishing superstars, people who had come to me kind of like at the beginning of their process and now are making way more millions than I ever have. And they did it through self-publishing.
Wow.
So really phenomenal. One was with Hal Elrod, who I think, The Miracle Morning, have you interviewed him yet?
No.
He's the best. Hal Elrod is amazing. He sold millions of books. He was so magical. He got 4-stage cancer. Mm. He couldn't work for a year. He had like a very small chance of surviving, and he did survive. But the whole time he's in the hospital and he's barely hanging on, his self-published book from 10 years prior, he allows me to say this, that book sold $700,000 worth of royalties that year alone.
Oh my God.
So that's phenomenal.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And then I have another gal, Dr. Jodi Carrington, who came to one of my retreats and she was like, I don't know, should I self-publish or not? She's a first responder. She's the person who they call in like after the school shooting to talk to the kids.
Oh, wow.
And
that,
like, she's amazing. I call her Canada's Brené Brown because she's such a good speaker. And so she came to a retreat with me and she was like, I have this event in, I think it was like 5 months away, where there's going to be 5,000 people in the audience. What should I do? I go, you're going to self-publish.
Oh, wow.
And I never tell people that. And I was like, you're going to self-publish. Let's crank it out. Let's get it printed so that all those 5,000 people can have it for that talk. And so she pre-sold it on stages, paid for 2 print runs, and then made millions of dollars.
That's amazing.
Because she self-published. If you're getting all the money, you're going to make a lot more money.
Totally.
And then, you know, a big 5 publisher came to her after that and was like, oh, now will you write one for us?
Yeah, I feel like that happens. And I feel like self-publishing is different than it used to be. Where before, I remember when I was in grad school getting my MFA.
Right.
Nobody wanted to be self-published because
stigma.
It mostly meant like no one wants to publish your work.
Right.
And now, it's a choice. It's like a really empowered
choice. It's a great
choice.
It's hard to do if you don't have a platform. So, you know, you have a podcast, you could totally do it. And if you're a speaker, speakers do really well self-publishing. What I always tell people is write the proposal, see if you get the agent and the deal that you want. If you don't, now you've written the whole blueprint for how to go self-publish. You have all your angles and hooks and all your marketing ideas. Everything's already done. So either way, you can't lose.
Well, that's my thought. Like once you've already done all that work, no one's going to stop you. So if people say no to you,
you
don't say no to yourself.
No.
Mm-hmm.
1,000%.
Yeah. Are you working on any other books right now?
Well, I have the sequel to this. Mm-hmm. So Beautiful Writers 2. So this one is pre-idea because this was school. This was college, right? So pre-idea to publication. And then book 2 is everything that follows that. That's like media, networking, sequels, on and on and on. I mean, just ghostwriting.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much fun stuff in that
book. So when is that coming?
You know, I don't know. I'm about halfway through, but I'm not rushing it. I think I really kind of killed myself to finish this book. And I was really in denial. I thought, because writing is so much fun for me, because it's my happy place, because I feel like it flows naturally, oh, I'll totally be able to write beautiful writers while I'm also helping 450 other authors. Mm-hmm. And the truth was, if COVID hadn't happened and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't leave my house for a while. Like, I had to stop all the Carmel retreats. Mm-hmm. If COVID hadn't happened and I hadn't had 50 to 60 hours a week to finish this book, I never would have finished it.
Wow.
I was just lying to myself for a decade thinking I was getting it done, mm-hmm. and it was never getting done. And so when I came out the other side, my husband really missed me. And my kid was like, Mom, I know I'm 30. Now he's 33. But like, I miss you too. You've had your nose in that thing for a long time. And it's just kind of nice not having that stress of deadline.
Yeah, totally. I relate. And that's why I chose to write this book that I've just almost finished without having a book deal or anything. I didn't want that pressure, that deadline. Yeah. I mean, there's enough pressure in life.
Seriously.
There's a
and
lot.
You're a mom.
Yeah.
I mean Atticus, not a good takes
that
Atticus and your husband have to be your first beyond your totally. Spiritual life. They have mm-hmm. to be your priority.
Yeah, they have to be.
Because kids will come back and bite you later.
I bet. I mean,
they remember
I
stuff.
Know, especially these
they're little,
old souls.
They're little, but those old souls, they remember
I
stuff.
I know. I mean, I look away from Atticus for 1 second to look at my phone or something, and he's looking at me like, what are you doing?
Oh, I used to get on the phone, and my kid, who was playing so quietly, would start throwing stuff at my head. I mean, they're so smart.
I used to do that to my mom. All of my mom's friends knew if I was with my mom, I'm not going to let her talk on the phone.
Like, oh, yeah.
I will talk.
That was my
I
son.
Will take
that was
the phone.
My son.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny. My mom's best friend would call and be like,
horses.
Jordan, I promise it's only going to be 5 minutes. I was the boss.
Oh, yeah. My
still
son
am.
Was the boss
yeah.
of me.
Mm-hmm.
He still tries to be.
Yes. Does he also live
He's my best
in,
friend.
Oh, you guys have such a special relationship.
He's my best friend.
Does he live in Arizona,
he
too?
He does. He lives in Scottsdale down
That's
the street.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We have to force ourselves not to see each other every day.
Like, really?
Yeah.
That's
cute. We have to force ourselves. And we're super different. Oh, mm-hmm. my God. You know, you have kids to learn a mm-hmm. lot of lessons. And he is so different than me. He's so conservative. I'm a tree hugger. He's just very different. And we're like spiritual soulmates.
Yeah.
So we have to force ourselves. Like, I'll say, I can't see you for a week. I have mm-hmm. to focus.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay, good. I need to get work done. Because we want to watch Seinfeld comedian getting coffee in cars or whatever.
That is
we just
cool.
want to like be with the animals
yeah.
and talk spiritual stuff. And
that's what I hope to have with
argue.
Atticus. Yeah, of course.
You
but
will.
Like that best friend.
You will.
Feeling.
You will. You will.
I love it. Yeah, that's inspiring and expanding. So I want to ask you some of the rapid fires that I ask everyone who comes on.
I'm ready.
So you told us your sun sign. What is your moon sign and your rising?
I'm a Gemini moon.
Totally see it.
Oh my gosh. Rising Sag.
Oh, I totally see it. That is so you.
Oh
yes.
My gosh.
I mean, that's why you're such a good communicator.
Aw,
a people person, organized, creative.
A little psychic. I think Sag
psychic.
Is a little psychic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love Sagittarius is. That's what Atticus is. I love a Sag.
That's right. I forgot.
I manifested a Sag. He's in the last 3 hours of Sagittarius
no.
season.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because I was not going to have a Capricorn.
Oh,
I mean,
no, not you.
Not me.
You.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine?
I mean, that would be the ultimate, like,
that'd
test
be hard.
Of
that'd
the
be hard.
Child teaching the parent.
Yeah,
and, yeah, it'd be wild. Do you know your human design?
You know what? I don't.
We're going to have to look it up.
I keep thinking that.
You're going to have to send me your birth info, and I will look it up, and I'll tell you.
Okay, perfect.
And put it in the intro.
Okay.
If you could be in a room with 3 people, living or dead, who would they be?
Elon Musk. People always cringe when I say that, but I'm fascinated by him. Like, is he an alien? Is he not?
I think he is.
And I am actually friends with his ex-wife, Justine.
Oh.
So, yeah, she and I've had some fun conversations.
Yeah,
I think Elon... Who else? It's really changed. I think Joe Rogan is hilarious and brilliant.
Him.
And I love the way he will interview everybody on all sides and just be so curious. So just, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't know I wanted to be an interviewer when I grew up. I had no idea that was going to be my job. I see it now because I used to read the books by the interviewers. So I would read all the books like by
everybody, even Phil Donahue, like whoever was, you know, Merv Griffin, whoever at the time was interviewing people, I would read their books. So I would say Joe Rogan, I don't know, a female for sure. I'm blanking.
Yeah, it's a hard question.
Living or dead?
Yeah.
Mother Mary.
Amazing.
Oh, duh.
Yes. Amazing. Yeah, that would be such a cool room.
I forgot they could be dead.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Rogan's a good one, though. I'd love to meet
Joe Rogan at the dinner. I'd probably stay quiet the whole time. I'd be watching Joe Rogan interview Mother Mary.
Yes. He would have so many questions. Oh, my God. That would be so good. And who are your mentors?
In real life?
In real life.
Online?
Yeah, living. Oh, well, online, anybody.
My mentors. Betsy Rappaport is my publishing mentor. She's brilliant. She worked at Random House and Crown forever, and just the most literate, brilliant woman. So I've literally sat at her feet for 25 years and just said, teach me everything. Because I knew I would never move to New York and work 9 to 5 in a publishing house. I just knew I didn't have the capability to have a boss. Mm-hmm. So I paid her to be my mentor all these years. Like, just teach me. And it's been phenomenal because this is what's so good about getting mentors is as you gain in skills, they give you the jobs they don't want.
Yeah.
So there were so many times where she'd be offered a ghostwriting job or a series for a magazine or something she would be offered to write and she wouldn't want it. She'd give it to me. So I'd get all these amazing jobs because my mentor ended up being one of my best friends.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So I would say Betsy and Guru Singh will always be a mentor. Mm-hmm. I like mentors who are a little bit rebellious.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I'm a weird one because I was raised with a Democrat and a Republican. And so I'm a rule follower and I'm also a rule breaker. Mm-hmm. I'm a tree hugger, but I'm also conservative in some of my thinking. So I'm kind of all over the place. And so my mentors online and not are also all over the place. Mm-hmm. I like people on all sides of every. And my sister says it's because I have 4 planets in Gemini. Mm-hmm. So I see all sides of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that.
I kind of don't hate anybody because I can see their goodness.
Yeah.
I can see their divinity.
Yeah, which is a beautiful place to be.
It can be hard sometimes.
And it can be. That's true. And where can everybody find you and your amazing book?
Bookmama.com. BOOKMAMA.
And you have stuff on there relating to the book, right? Like audios and stuff you were saying.
Yeah. There's links to like Book Proposal Magic. Mm-hmm. There's a link to the podcast, Beautiful Writers Podcast.
Yeah. A forever favorite of mine.
All the stuff is there. And that free audio, I think is really helpful. So if you want to sign up for the newsletter.
Amazing.
So fun.
Linda, thank you. This was incredible.
Thank you.
I'm
so
honored.
Most fun.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Come say hi on Instagram at The Balanced Wand and tell me what your favorite part of this episode was. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and send me a screenshot of your rating and review for a free Soul on Fire yoga ebook. See you next Wednesday. Love you guys.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.